I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sports ad free. That's amazon.com/sports ad free to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember.
Yeah.
You do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
I got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would think of that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking hour?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.
Welcome one and all to the preview show on Football Ramble Daily, sponsored by Betway. The international break is upon us, with England hosting Bulgaria, Wales at home to Azerbaijan and Scotland facing Russia. Oh, and Alan Shearer and Michael Owen have had some beef. Hi, everybody. Luke, Jim and Petey are here.
Whoa.
No. We are full of coffee.
Let's go around the table and say whether we're Team Shearer or Team Owen.
I think you know which team I'm on.
Team Les.
Les.
Team Les. Shearer. Yeah, Shearer.
Mm.
Yeah. Owen's...
That's a full house.
Owen's... He's isolated himself, I feel. Mm. But yes, Shearer and Owen have sat down to tuck into an enormous amount of beef, haven't they?
They have.
English beef. The best beef.
Be well done, wouldn't it, as well? Yeah. Definitely cook well done.
Absolutely, yeah. A second autobiography for Michael Owen.
Yes. Yeah. The first one. Okay. Well, it ended on such a cliffhanger, I assume.
What's the next step?
It's called This Time It's Personal. Marcus, you spent time in the company of Michael Owen.
I did, yes.
Yet you're still Team Shearer.
Yeah. I'm concerned that I might get slagged off in the book as well.
Whole chapter. Did this Football Ramble episode. Yeah. Absolute prick he was.
Interviewed by this Burke. It's quite interesting, isn't it, with Michael Owen? Because,
ironically.
No, not really.
Yeah, I see what you mean. It is mildly interesting with Michael Owen at best that he's often seen as quite a calm and at times slightly passive, not particularly opinionated at times.
Because he's not very charismatic, isn't
Yes.
It?
Yeah.
And that this has been bubbling away under the surface. I mean...
Has it?
Yes.
Or is he just looking for a payday?
Well, the thing is... Well, there's two points on that, I think, Pete. One is that he doesn't need the money. Now, yeah. I know people always want more money. I get that. But he doesn't need the money. He's not doing it out of necessity.
Now it is.
Exactly.
That's right, yeah.
And two is that he's already tweeted saying, I'm fed up of this serialisation press copy kind of thing about this stage right. of the book. I want people to read the whole thing because they'll find it's a lot more balanced than you think. Mm. And he's also criticised Shearer on Twitter by saying he's taken one little aspect of something mm-hmm. I said and spun it against me type thing. So yep. boring myself even saying it, but we are going to have to read the book to know what's going to happen.
No.
None of us are prepared to do that.
No.
Let's
Brexit means Brexit. I'm not reading anything anymore.
Yeah.
That's for the boffins.
We've got enough experts.
I just like the way that Michael Owen has consistently for the past 15 years been tried to solidify his history and his pedigree with Liverpool fans who aren't really that arsed about him, Manchester United fans who aren't really that arsed about him, Newcastle fans who can't fucking stand him.
Yeah.
His only standing is really in a 3-year period for England. Maybe Stoke fans are into him.
Given that he came out and said that for the last so many years of my career, including all his time at Stoke, he couldn't wait to retire, I don't think Stoke fans like him very much either.
God, it's just done himself no favours by opening his mouth pretty much at any point.
I think it's
that
a shame. He doesn't need to say that. I know this is the kind of catch 22, isn't it? Because we want people to be really honest and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
But I think there's being honest in a sort of a dignified way. And I think when you say that, you know, about the move to Newcastle United, you're mugging off a lot of the fans.
To any of those Newcastle fans, though, they're well aware of what Michael Owen was at that point. A man who enjoyed playing for England and enjoyed the GGs and enjoyed his money.
And his helicopter.
And his helicopter to Dubai and floating around Dubai. And he loved pretty much nothing else. So Newcastle fans, anyone who's seen Michael Owen play in the twilight of his career, know what kind of footballer, know what kind of human being he is.
Yeah.
He's not a team player, let's say.
I think the thing with Michael Owen is he seems like a fairly strange guy, which is, you know, people can be who they are and your personality is your personality. But
amen, brother.
You get the impression that he just likes winning, doesn't he?
Oh, yeah.
And that's probably why he's so into horses and mm-hmm. having horses and stuff. But there's that whole thing about how, you know, he's only ever seen 8 movies. And he hates movies.
I wonder where this was going to come up from, Jim.
Yeah. I am obsessed with it because he says that he only ever watched movies when he was with England youth teams and they were sort of like basically taken out to just keep them busy. Mm. And he hated them so much that he would sit in the cinema trying to think about football instead of concentrating on the movies. And one of the 8 movies he's seen and hated was Cool Runnings. And I love the idea of a young Michael Owen sat in a cinema trying to ignore Cool Runnings and really stubbornly think about football.
What's not to like about Cool Runnings?
It's mental.
Cool Runnings are the real victims here.
Yeah. Indeed.
I mean, some of the other people he's had a go at. Fabio Capello, he said he was absolutely crap. In my opinion, Capello caused catastrophic damage to both my career and English football in general and got handsomely paid to do so.
Yeah, I mean, and Pete's tapped into something here, which is that...
Shit.
So he's
put your thumb over it.
No, he's shat all over his time at Liverpool by going to Man United.
Yeah.
He spent all the stuff you hear about Real Madrid is him just insisting till he's blue in the face that actually he did a lot better than anyone said he did.
Mm-hmm.
Then Newcastle, as Pete's already mentioned... Man United is Man United, and he was kind of well past his best by then anyway, although he did get a couple of crucial goals. And the Stoke City thing he's talked about, and people are upset about that because, I mean, he played for him about 10 times and scored a couple of goals or whatever. And he said he couldn't wait to retire. So the reason this is coming back to blowing up in his face is essentially a lot of it is down to him.
Yeah.
And I think Shearer's probably been a bit cheeky and get involved. Henry Winter was beside himself, poor old Henry.
Yeah.
Saying, just please, just call each other.
Call him.
Yeah.
Michael.
Yeah. Oh, God.
It's a shame because Owen, when he burst onto the scene, it's easy to forget the impact he had.
Oh, man, it's incredible.
Was
phenomenal.
He was a phenomenon. And it's
very exciting.
And it's such a shame. His, you know, first half of his career was exceptional. It really was.
You say it's easy to forget because it was pre-millennium, pretty much.
Yeah, it was a long time ago.
It was a long time ago.
Sure.
Know?
But it's easy to forget for other reasons as well, in which the second half of his career wasn't so good. But also, as he's banging on about this now, you think, oh, Michael, you're not doing us any favours. I mean, he also said that, he said Beckham let the team down in 98, which is fair. Mm. And then he says he still holds a little bit of resentment today.
Mm.
And you think, don't leave the resentment to Terry Butcher.
Yeah.
You know,
Or Glenn.
Yeah.
I mean, Glenn was fuming, still is.
A man like Terry Butcher is fueled on resentment. Right?
Will you say that about a man like Terry Butcher?
Yeah. Whereas Michael Owen, you think, Michael, we want you to be the nice little squeaky clean boy next door.
But I think this is the thing with Owen, isn't it? Does that show that he only ever really cared about England? He's, you know, he's pissed on his legacy himself. Everywhere else. Well, quite, because it's the biggest stage, right? Yeah. And Marcus, you're the resident England fan.
yes, you are.
Compared to all of us.
Oh, okay.
And do you hold his legacy in high regard?
Marcus, you're the John Westwood of England fans.
And he loves England, is that, Marcus?
You've got to hold him at high school, 40 goals for England.
But that's the
he
problem.
He was exciting.
But hence I said about it's easy to forget that.
Yeah.
Because I was old enough to remember all that, as I'm sure a lot of our listeners
but
are.
But from a football point of view, he fell off a cliff because of his injuries.
Yeah.
And because he was used a lot when he was a teenager and his body was probably still growing. He picked up a lot of muscle injuries, lost his pace, and he said himself, I couldn't be the player I used to be because of the injuries I had. So that's partly why his reputation isn't as good as it perhaps should be, given that, he scored 40 goals for England. But part of it is because he just comes across as a knob. And that does tell its own story in this day of multimedia.
He does. And that, I think, is ultimately the point, Luke.
He eyeballed my dinner at Euston Station once.
Did he? Well, the plot thickens.
I don't like it when people look at my dinner.
The stuff you eat.
You know, when you're in the office and you walk in and someone goes, ooh, what's that? Get your face out of my dinner.
Yeah. It's because quite often it's like dog biltong. Yeah. Do you remember when someone sent you that?
Dog biltong.
It wasn't. Yeah, well, you thought it was dog.
I don't think I would. It was have absolute eaten it if it was dog.
I'm not accusing you of eating dog. No, I'm just saying someone sent you some biltong and you weren't sure what it was.
It is very early, and I would like to point out that Marcus Speller wanted an earlier record than usual. We are in for 8 o'clock in the morning, and I was like, I don't remember putting this in my diary at all. I looked at when it was requested. I was in Rotterdam at 10 p.m.
Yeah,
on a Friday night.
Your own happiness, your own responsibility.
Yeah, well, I'm just saying. That's not getting put in my diary. I'm drunk. I'll be drunk.
Is that why you're drunk now?
You're here. We're here to talk about England now.
All right.
No, Shearer's got away with this scot-free,
has
he?
He has, yeah. No, actually, I think it's quite telling about Owen as well that he made quite sort of snide, passive-aggressive comments about, oh, typical, everyone knows what Shearer's like. It's like, well, there's no riposte to that, is there? It's such a... Well, it's very Weasley.
He tried to make out that Shearer wanted to leave for Liverpool, and then about 14 people instantly said, that's not what happened.
Look, I've heard, Alan Shearer can be a little bit tricky as well, but
that's why I'm Team Les. I don't necessarily like Alan Shearer all that much.
But I mean, given the choice of two, I think we're all Team Les ultimately.
Yeah. All Team Les.
Absolutely.
Team Shola.
England are against Bulgaria.
Oh.
And Michael Owen won't be involved. But England do have...
He probably could be, given the group we've got.
Yeah.
Easily be involved.
But it's a decent squad there that England have. Aaron Wan-Bissaka's pulled out with injury, which is a shame because, he's been... I say waiting a long time. That's not true at all. Last season, there was talk that he may get an England call-up. He's finally there, but he's out. Sadly, other notable absentees, Carl Walker. But I think Southgate spoke to him. And it's a bit like with what we said about Fabian Delph. It's kind of... We know what you've got. Don't worry, my old son, but we need to kind of have other people there. I mean, Southgate went to go and watch Trippier in Madrid recently to see how he was getting on.
Lovely
old job there.
I think the other England managers, I'm pretty sure when old Svenigans was in charge, he was going, why can't any of you play abroad?
Come on. Who fancies a bit of time in like Thailand or
Gareth,
something?
Gareth, I've just seen your travel arrangements, Gareth. You're going to Madrid to see Kieran Trippier play, apparently. Yeah. I mean, you booked him for 3.5 weeks now. Yeah, well, I'd like to see how he's getting on. Check his training.
Sven, I appreciate Robbie Fowler has had England caps, but in the twilight of his career, while he's playing for Mwatong United, do you need to go and see him? I'm not sure if the dates match up, but you get the point, ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah.
You get the bleeding point. So Trippi is in, which is good to see.
Yeah.
Little trips.
And Marcus, also, sorry, Jim, go on.
Well, I think it smacks of Southgate's focus on squad unity, isn't it? This idea that, you're not just if your form, kind of falls off a cliff even for your club, then you're not going to be a forgotten person. Mm-hmm. You know, it's treating it almost like a club squad.
That's what he's trying to do.
It's very much sort of rotating selections to the point where you know that actually if you're not in the squad this time, as you say with Kyle Walker, then the door isn't shut, and that's going to foster a good feeling around an increasingly large pool of players, which is a great thing.
Yeah, I mean, he's used Walker and Delph before. They were very much in the World Cup squad, of course, and their form hasn't been in question, unlike, say, Trippier, of course. And what are they both? 20? I think Delph's 29, Carl Walker will be around that age. So they're not going to significantly improve, you would think, because they're both playing very well indeed. So he knows what's happening there. Other people have come in, Tyrone Mings, of course,
That's a really interesting story.
Yeah.
I didn't quite realise...
late in the day, he came into professional football.
Yeah, he spent time in a homeless shelter as a child. Yeah. And was working as a mortgage advisor and playing non-league football. Mm-hmm. And now he's in the England squad. An incredible story. Yeah. That completely passed me by. I didn't see that until last week.
Was he born in Cambridge? Or certainly grew up in Bath, I think.
He did grow up around Bath,
yeah. So when you hear that, you think, maybe from like a middle-class background.
No, very difficult
those parts of the world, you know.
But also, only one Marcus in the squad.
Well, it's always nice to have one in there, though.
I mean, I think they've got a quota of one, so...
There's a James or Jim in there, of course. Yeah. James in there, James Madison. And Aaron was in there, and that's my middle name, so I kind of sort of get away with that. No Pete's or Diggory's, though. No. Disturbing lack of Pete's.
No Pete Rashford Donaldson's around.
No. I have a Brazilian friend who recently referred to Jordan Pickford as Jordan Pitchfork. entirely... Well, you know, that's quite ironically.
Nice. Dele Alli's not in the side, but he's not played that much due to injury. And again, we know what he can do. But the likes of John Stones, Ruben Loftus-Cheek, Callum Hudson-Odoi, all out with injuries. Eric Dier looks unlikely to feature for England much these days, barring injuries to key players. One player, though, that's come in, and one or two people may have thought it was slightly overdue, was James Maddison. And there's been a bit of chat around him. The type of player that could unlock stubborn defences, perhaps. But Southgate has said that they don't really play with a number 10, do they? You have that kind of deep-lying central midfielder. There's almost like a pivot, if you want to call him. And then you have your two runners. But really, the creativity Southgate wants is more from the wings. And Maddison, in that kind of sort of number 10 role, doesn't really fit into the system too much. And Southgate said last year that there were other players ahead of Maddison in the pecking order. But then Brendan Rodgers, who is a huge fan of James Maddison, he's waxed lyrical about him ever since he's got to Leicester, reckons that he can play more than one position. He's been playing him more off the left flank at times this season. And so I wonder if Southgate's seen something there, or indeed Maddison is an option off the bench or a decent squad option when it comes to a tournament. If you're playing a team and you think to yourself, actually, we might need a little bit more defensive solidity.
Yeah.
So you play two in front of the back four. And then have Maddison sort of trying to unlock. I mean, what do we think?
I think your last point there is the key one. I think England, if they're going to... I mean, England were flattered last summer by how far they got in the World Cup. I think we can all agree they had a nice draw.
Yep.
Doesn't mean...
Lovely old draw.
Yeah, it doesn't mean their achievement is diminished in any way, but I think that's probably a statement of fact we can all get on board with. And I think if they want to go to the very next level of competing deep in tournaments regularly, they need to have more than one plan.
Absolutely.
And it's not easy when you're a team like England, because you're always going to be seeded in your qualification. So you're always going to breeze through qualifying. England have done a pretty good job so far, and I imagine they'll continue to do so. I can't imagine they're going to drop points against either Bulgaria or Kosovo, and then they're in the box seat and we'll expect them to qualify. So they can't, if they're not going to try these things out in these kind of games, then there's not really much of an opportunity to do it, and then you're going into the unknown. So I think what I'd like to see England do, I completely agree with everything you said there, Marcus,
thanks,
the first
cousin.
Point about how England like to play. But they need to find a place in some capacity, whether he only ever ends up playing one in every four or five games or something, that's his cross to bear. But they need that as an option, because he's a very creative player. I think he created more chances than pretty much anyone in the Premier League last
season. Since he's joined Leicester.
Yeah. And so he's clearly got the ability to do it.
Yeah.
He's made that step up from like Norwich and Championship football.
Very,
very easily. And was he 22, 23?
He's 22, I think.
Yeah, you're right. That step up he's made, it's players struggle sometimes. And you know, you look at St. Anthony Knockout, as we've mentioned before, he's not an England player, but the point of that is he was Championship player of the season. And then when he moved to the Premier League, I understand he's at Brighton, a very defensive team, but his sort of struggle goes down to Fulham and has been brilliant. Maddison was, I think, player of the year at Norwich City. And you wouldn't even know. I mean, Mason Mount's another one who's in there as well, this season we've only got a small sample size.
I think absolutely. And I think he's obviously in there for a reason as well. And he's kind of similar.
Yeah,
I mean, he's played a bit wider in a three behind a one. But that is interesting
what Southgate's done there.
But the 4-3-3 that they'll almost certainly play against Bulgaria with Sterling, Kane and Sancho probably. Something like that, won't it? And the creativity and the excitement will come from the wide areas. And you understand why that is, because Sterling and Sancho are brilliant. But there does need to be an option where perhaps you play a couple in front of the back four and you play someone like Maddison in the hole. Because at international level, he needs to show that he's good enough. And we all think he is good enough, and he will certainly be good enough in this qualification group. But if you get into a situation where you can't break a team down in the tournament and you need to throw Maddison in because he's the most creative number 10 type player, and that's the kind of player you need to break them down, but he's only got like two caps in friendlies, it's a lot harder for him.
Well, I think that's where the trust with Southgate is. You trust him to kind of bring it in. Luke mentioned Jadon Sancho there, Jim.
Yes.
Would you have, because Sterling will start and Kane will start, you would have thought, unless there's some sort of injury problem or whatnot. Sancho or Marcus Rashford? I mean, Sancho is having a lovely time. He set a new record last weekend, becoming the youngest player in history to score 15 Bundesliga goals, although, as the article in Sky Sports quite rightly says, it's an arbitrary number.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
Still, it's impressive nonetheless. Do you think it's time to put, he has played for England, of course, but Sancho and Rashford, they are different players. Sancho is more of an out-and-out winger, I would say.
Mm-hmm. He's a much better wide forward than Rashford.
So he does score goals, whereas Rashford is more the type of forward who wants to cut inside. And Rashford would probably love to play front and centre, wouldn't he? Mm. So slightly different options, but still two decent options that Southgate has.
Yeah, I think Sancho, similar to what Luke was just saying about James Maddison, you know, it's easy to think of him as almost as part of the furniture very, very quickly, but that's not actually the case. So he needs those minutes to playing for England, certainly playing with Kane and Sterling in particular, because I think at the moment, that's our best front three. I don't think Rashford gets near that, to be honest, but especially on current form, because he didn't have a great game against Southampton in particular.
Mm-hmm. But Rashford's produced moments in England.
He certainly has.
Yeah, and there's some interesting...
I mean, I'm not talking about sort of getting rid of him forever, but I feel at the moment.
Well, you said he's not going to get anywhere near that. It, though. I mean, I think that's.
Yeah, if I'm picking the team.
Oh,
he's on the bench. I suppose he's near it. He's on the bench. Yeah. It's closer than I am.
Can't get any nearer than actually being on the pitch. But there's a lot of stuff coming out about Kane at the moment. If you read the press and people who sort of, you know...
Michael Owen been slagging him off.
Yeah, if you read Michael Owen's autobiography...
Well, that should be my position.
Yeah, he says that he knew Kane would come along. I know, but that Kane's looking a little bit lethargic, a little bit kind of slow on his heels.
People
say
that a lot about Kane, though, don't they? I think he's sort of, perhaps overanalyzed.
We're only just into September, I guess.
And he does warm up into the season, I suppose. But... I don't know. I don't know if I would have. I wouldn't. Yeah, people might cane me for saying this. But I wouldn't have Rashford as a wide forward ahead of Sancho. Sancho's a much more interesting and exciting wide forward.
Who would you have then if he goes for the three in midfield, the two runners? Mm-hmm. Who would you have as the pivot? You're thinking Harry Winks, maybe?
Winks will probably play.
Well, Declan Rice.
Winks will play alongside Rice, I expect.
And then
Henderson.
So who's your runners then? Who's playing at the pivot?
I'd have Henderson, Winks, and Rice.
So, Winks, you're playing as a shuttler next to Henderson.
Yeah.
Would you?
Yeah, fit him in there, yeah. Okay. I would play Winks ahead of Rice. I'm telling you what I think Southgate will do.
Okay, no, fair enough. Because I thought maybe he might try Winks in that kind of one in front of the back four.
Well, I hope he does. I hope he does do that, because he's the best player at doing that.
Well, and so what you think, perhaps, maybe Henderson will later come off for Maddison or Mount to see how that works.
I think to answer that question more generally, I think part of these days, part of Southgate's job is going to be being sure and confident in his decisions and accepting that he can't play everyone. So if that means that, if that means that Marcus Rashford only plays for England five times in the next 2 years because Harry Kane plays all the time and Rashford only comes on when we need him, well, I'm sorry, but there are plenty of players down the history for England who have had hardly any caps because there's been better players ahead of them. And that's just part of it. You can't. I whatever he does, I personally wouldn't like to see him squeeze all these players in because he can, because I think that's the wrong way to go about it. And the fact that he's left Walker out and Delph out by saying that I know what they can do, I can call on them if I need them, shows that he's got a good amount of leadership and he's not in hock to the personalities of the players, which is very encouraging. Mm. And I think what he's achieved so far, we have to trust him to do the right thing.
I think one of those shuttler roles in midfield, I think if Alex Oxlade-Chamberlain can reproduce, get over his injuries and all that kind of stuff, because obviously he's in the squad, and get back to the form in which we saw him in a very effective position and playing very well for Liverpool. Think of his goal against Man City in the quarterfinal of the Champions League a couple of years ago and all that. If he can get back to that level, I think one of those roles that he has as a shuttler in there, the pace that Oxlade-Chamberlain, I think that one of those positions could be
his. Mm. I think more importantly, just to finish, we haven't had a Peter playing for England since the 17th of November 2010. That was Peter Crouch.
Ah.
So we'd like to see more of that.
More
if
Peters,
possible.
Please.
Where did you... What website did you use?
Yeah, what weird website?
Peters.com?
Yeah.
What have Peters been up to?
Or it's everything you need to know about Peters.com.
Kyle Walker, what Peters?
Yeah, Pete Donaldson's on it a lot.
Mm. Yeah, okay, there we are. Well, of course, England are playing Bulgaria, bottom of Group 2, who they've just got 2 points for 4 matches. It's a modest Bulgarian team.
Yeah.
That England shouldn't have too many problems here. Shouldn't.
No.
Okay.
And I honestly don't think they will.
No.
Okay. All right, there we are. Now, ladies and gentlemen, it's time for emails with PTD.
It is time for emails.
You email show at footballrambledaily.com. And now Peter's reading it out. Well done.
Peter, yes. 2 points on that. One, that is that feels like the reprise to me. That should be played at the end. The first one is the better one.
That was the first one. That was on email jingle one.
Yeah, oh, okay. I think it is.
And secondly, what we're going to do when you're away and Jim's got to read the emails out? Yeah. We just have to say Jim over the top.
Do you want to put in £200 for a new one?
We'd rather you did it.
Well, hang on a minute. It's Jim's responsibility.
Just knock one up when you're in Rotterdam or wherever you are.
I'm sure he will. Careful, Jim. Oh, sorry. Yeah.
Not at 10 p.m. hello to Anthony Durand. He was listening to the Football Ramble last week, actually on Monday, and he was in the gym, and the email jingle came on, and he slipped and did his ankle in. So apologies, but where there's blame, there's very much not a claim in that situation.
Well, you can sue us if you want. We've got no money.
Lee, I'm very much looking forward to Football Ramble Live. You can attend too if you go to ramblelive.com. And I secured myself 2 tickets thinking I would bring a fellow Ramble listening friend. However, due to logistical challenges, my friend cannot make it, and instead one of my work colleagues is joining. This colleague, A, has never listened to your show and has no concept of it. B, has no idea what Peter's like. Rude. And C, is much more junior than me, and in fact, I manage them.
Right.
I don't want to see managers listen to the Football Ramble.
This guy's got plenty of time to listen to some of our shows before the live shows start.
The live shows aren't going to require any pre-reading. It's fine. We're very aware that we're playing some slightly bigger venues this time, so we want to bring as many people in as possible. So come along.
Yeah.
Bring your friend. Maybe conceive of a team night out.
Yes.
Is there a lot of football?
Good
fans
idea. And we could all make love together.
Team bonding not session.
Not that bit.
Imagine that team night out. We're going to see Football Ramble Live. Gutted. Yeah. Absolutely gutted. I'd rather go bowling to go
everywhere.
Yeah.
Jack Brooks. Hi, guys. Long time listener. First time email. I spent the last week on holiday in a small campsite in Wales near Aberystwyth called Claric Bay with my wife and her side of the family, including her sister's partners and, of course, the in-laws. We all have young children, so that meant going down in the evenings to the shoreboat for the kids' entertainment to burn the last remaining bit of energy they have. We all sat down. My brother-in-law spotted the one and only Mike Bloody Dean.
Yes.
Whoa. On the far side of the room. We were all questioning whether it was actually him or not and decided to find out by going up to him and asking, "Excuse me, mate, you're Mike Dean, aren't you?" His reply, "Yes, mate, I am." He seemed pretty annoyed, so we decided to leave him alone.
That's what you want, though, right?
Yeah. After speaking to the barman, he clarified he'd been here for the last few days and everyone was going up to him asking the same thing. Once the kids' entertainment finished, it was time for the bingo. This time, me and the guys left the ladies to it while we went to the other bar to play some pool. A little while later, my sister-in-law came in shouting, "He's only gone and won it, ain't he?" Mike Dean sounds like he's having a hellish weekend. Yeah. Being bothered by these people.
Leave him alone.
He'd won the top £200 prize at bingo. Once we finished our games of pool, we headed back to the main room. Mike Dean was at the bar. I decided to ask him if he wanted a pint, and then my wife, who was stood next to me, exclaimed, "You're not buying a pint, he's just won £200.
Yeah, true.
Yeah. He said, and we won it 2 days ago as well. The game's gone mad.
Poor old Deanie.
Just getting bothered by
poor old Deanie. He's won £400 there.
Yeah. Good old Deanie.
Very enjoyable.
Imagine he'd take it very gracefully as well.
Did he stand up on his chair like he did when his team got promoted?
Let's assume yes.
Or won the game and he was like...
Yeah.
We got sent this quite a lot actually over on Twitter and also the email address. Andrew, the Hollytown Football Club number 11 was sent off for, I think he was given a yellow card and in frustration. Oh, no, it was a foul that wasn't given. And in his frustration, he threw his boot at the referee.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, terrible
the referee
stuff.
Dawson quite rightly administers the red card.
I mean, the cameras will be able to see me smiling, but I am saying terrible stuff.
That is a terrible stuff.
You can't do that.
Like that guy that threw his shoe at George W. Bush.
Yes. I can't confirm. He's a size 10.
That was good.
It's a good comeback.
Reflexes on Bush were pretty good. He ducked. In fact, no, he threw both of his shoes. Yeah. It was a big insult in certain parts of the world.
As you once said, Mark.
Big insult.
Remember when we thought he was the worst thing that could happen?
Yeah.
Watch my drive.
Yeah.
And now it's time for a break.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. How's your social battery right now? We're nearly at the end of the Premier League season, so I'm pretty drained. So many tense matches, and some not so tense, as well as point deductions, a battle for the title, and teams on the brink of relegation. All that suspense has me needing a well-deserved break. With the air in full swing, it can be easy to get swept up in work, social engagements, even keeping up with all this football, and we can spread ourselves too thin. But with therapy, you can learn to prioritise your time and really recharge your batteries. It's helpful for learning how to set personal boundaries and empowering you to be the best version of yourself, because you should spend your time on your own terms. So, if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/ramble today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/ramble.
Welcome back to the preview show on Football Ramble Daily, sponsored by Betway. What are you chuckling about, bruv?
Are you going to talk about Wales next?
Why, what's wrong with that?
I just got something funny to say about Ryan Giggs.
What happened to your voice then?
Well, what's wrong with it?
What's wrong with it?
There's nothing wrong with it.
Is it the only sentence Pete Donaldson can say in the Southern accent?
What's wrong with it?
There's nothing wrong with it.
There's nothing wrong with it.
Yeah.
With it. Yeah.
Oh, we should say, by the way, that let's... You know, peek behind the curtain. We're recording this on Thursday. I say that because we can't cover what Ireland. Sorry?
Dropouts. A lot of squad dropouts.
Yeah. Well, possibly, but also Ireland obviously plays Switzerland. So by the time you're hearing this, if anything, if Mick McCarthy's like had a punch up with somebody, we don't know. If Gibraltar have got a particularly good result against Denmark at home, we don't know.
We'll have a great run up at it for Monday.
Indeed, we will.
Exactly.
But we can talk about Wales versus Azerbaijan, which is happening, wink, wink, tonight. Wales, of course, in Group E. They need a win here.
Yeah,
they need a win.
The reason I was chuckling is because this morning I typed in Ryan Giggs into Google News. Oh. I want to see if there's any interesting quotes about what he was saying, how he's going to approach the game, all the rest of it. Uh-huh. They're in big trouble. They're fourth in their group at the moment.
I wouldn't say they're in big trouble.
Well, they're fourth in their group at the moment.
Yeah, 3 points from three games.
They had a decent...
Great. But they've gone to Croatia and they've gone to Hungary. Now, I know Hungary isn't...
Yeah, and they lost both those games.
Yeah, yes. No, but I'm saying that they're probably their two toughest games, you would think.
Yeah,
I mean, this is a better Hungarian side than we've seen, and obviously going away to Croatia and losing is you know, it's not terrible, is it? So they've got those games out of the way.
Well, look, they are not in the box seat, shall we say. They're not in their position they perhaps like to be. Anyway, the point I was just going to make is that when I typed Ryan Giggs' name into Google News, the first return that came back was Thierry Henry, Ryan Giggs and Gary Neville to turn out for Vincent Kompany's testimonial. Which, by the way, is happening, I think, on Wednesday.
So, well, wait, no,
yeah, September
11th.
Wow.
It's sort of a bit like, wow.
Well, I suppose, though, for Giggs, I mean, hopefully he's not got any eyes on that at the moment, but Wales' next game after Azerbaijan is in October.
Good to see Benjani in the Man City squad for that game, by the way.
Big
Benjani's in there.
Oh, that is good.
Sean Wright Phillips.
Yeah.
Stephen Ireland's in there.
Of course he is.
Dietmar Hamann.
Yeah, Didi Hamann's in there, yeah.
Damn right.
Sorry, Marcus, carry on.
Old Man City player.
Yeah.
Colin Bell.
Although I'm not
Peter
sure.
Peter Schmeichel.
I'm not sure if Stephen Ireland will be able to play because apparently his Nan's. Nan's quite ill. Nan's quite ill.
If she is, you'll be in trouble now.
Yeah. So. Well, she's already died about 14 times.
Cab on. So. Yeah, Wales are up against Azerbaijan. So the next game is in October. And Azerbaijan are bottom of the group, 0 points from three matches. And another reason why I don't think Wales are in huge trouble at the moment, it's not the start they would have perhaps wanted.
Well, because these other teams will all take points off each
exactly.
other.
Exactly. Yeah. Wales, I think, beat Slovakia at home, and that's no mean feat as well. So Croatia, Slovakia and Hungary, they're all taking points off each other. Wales are still very much in it. Ashley Williams wasn't called up for this squad.
He's been without a club, hasn't he?
He has been without a club. I think he's with Bristol City now, but I don't think he's played a league match in the Championship yet. But Giggs said, he's still my captain and all that kind of stuff. Though he's kicking a little bit. He's what, 34, 35?
I stan him.
You what him?
You stan him.
But yeah. So Aaron Ramsey pulled out the squad with injury as well. He's yet to play in Serie A this season as well. Yeah. So missing a couple of crucial players there. But
maybe he's trying to sort of cozy up to Giggs and say,
yeah,
I don't really fancy this one. You're my idol.
It's not a friendly spot match on the Man City All-Stars.
Yeah. I think he's only played like 20 minutes in a friendly for Juve, hasn't he? So
yeah, something like that. Yeah. What about Paul Dummett, though? He's reiterated that he wants to focus on club football due to persistent injuries and that, and he's said he's still unavailable for selection because he made himself unavailable under Chris Coleman. Yeah,
I don't think he's as dedicated to Newcastle as he makes out. Really, he's tried everything.
It's a Shearer Highway doing that, isn't it? Retiring early.
So he was brilliant against Spurs, wasn't he?
Was it partly Paul Dummett's fault that time they got relegated when Alan Shearer was in charge?
Probably. He's been there for a very, very long time.
But it is a bit of a shame, though, if you're a Wales fan, because he was so good against Spurs. Obviously, he's a decent defender for him to say he's not available. If he says it's because he's had hamstring problems and he feels that maybe doing too much football with persistent injuries and so on. So you can sort of understand it, but it is a little bit annoying, though.
He's only got five caps.
Yeah.
Dummett's seeing off like so many challenges to the left back throne. It's not a throne. It's a piece of picnic furniture on a motorway
in a thunderstorm.
In a thunderstorm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
In a lay-by.
So he's kind of like become. Yeah. He's become.
Has he got a cushion on it,
footballer.
Or just like a Formica plastic?
Just a Formica plastic thing. Yeah. Yeah.
Do you get it from Sports Direct?
Yeah.
Can they do that?
Do they sell chairs? Possibly.
Sure. Is it
white?
I've got one knocking about.
Is it white and it's been in the garden so long it's got that kind of sort of dusty
dirty
film on
it? Yeah,
like almost sepia tone.
A
couple of like brown leaves on it.
That is the left back position at Newcastle United Football.
What's the right back position?
It's very much
the same
situation.
Yeah. But with maybe a mattress.
Very much DeAndre Yedlin's if he wants it.
And the striker position is an old bed that someone's fly tipped.
Yeah. Does anyone have anything to say on Wales?
No.
If you're going to put it in the run order,
we may run away from it.
I was going to say, well, I suppose it is my fault, isn't it? Harry Wilson, he can hit them.
He can.
And he can hit them. We're talking about this pre-season.
We've talked about Giggs, we've talked about Williams, we've talked about Ramsey, we've talked about Dummett.
Yeah.
We're going for every fucking player in the squad,
we give you
Daniel
good,
James.
Two of them
fast.
Aren't in the squad.
We give you
Joe Allen, Scruffy.
Any more?
Yeah. Gareth Bale.
Harry Wilson can
Rich,
hit him.
Talk to me about Dylan Levitt.
I can't.
Again.
He's never played a single game. Has he? I don't know. I want to look him up now.
Yeah, you've
Honestly, if you Google Dylan Levitt, it literally says Ryan Giggs can help him at Manchester United because no one is caring about Wales. They're caring about Manchester United. And now he's. I don't know.
You don't know.
Weird.
Are they going to play Wayne Hennessy on the right wing? Lol. Come on, let's have a bit. They should win this game, Wales. They have got some decent youngsters. Honestly, Harry Wilson, that free kick he scored against for Bournemouth and so on. If it was me, I'd just say, give the ball to Harry.
Give the ball to Harry and try and get someone to foul him.
Well, I would say make sure he's got the ball, as long as he's within, say, 30 yards and then just shoot on site.
Because Wales have never sort of fallen down by sort of like, give the ball to one particular player.
Well, it worked. Gareth Bale's in there.
Yes, he's earned his place.
Genuinely.
What do you not think he has?
Of course he has.
He's earned his place, yes.
Yeah, two goals for Real Madrid recently.
Yeah. It is genuinely
have a bit of respect.
He's, I think playing for Real Madrid, I think you can probably walk into most Wales squads.
Yeah, I suppose so.
Genuinely, though, it is actually very exciting to see how Daniel James will perform in this game because he's had such a good, bright start to life at Man United. And it's the thing with Wales, isn't it? Obviously, they're quite a small country, so every year, the really, really good players come through maybe a few times in a generation, and James really looks on course to be the next one.
Yeah.
So, I will be keeping an eye out for that.
Definitely. He's already opened his account for Wales as well. Mm-hmm. A lot of excitement there. So,
well, part of the problem with this international break is that the last games that they played feel like so long ago.
Oh, God,
it's difficult to really, I mean, if I count England among this as well, it's difficult to kind of remember how the team set up, how they got on. I know Wales lost narrowly to Hungary and narrowly in the game before that, but I can't remember much about the game. It's simply not possible to draw on it.
So if you're going to have just the one-off game and then you're back in October, you're probably better off facing the team who are bottom of the group.
100%.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah.
They need to win. They have to win it. They've got no choice.
A sterner test for Scotland, though.
Yeah.
They host
because
Russia.
They're Scotland.
they're playing against Russia. In Group I, of course, Belgium, Russia, Kazakhstan, Scotland, Cyprus and San Marino. Scotland host Russia and then they host Belgium next week. So a tricky time, perhaps. I mean, they're fourth on 6 points. They're 3 points off Russia in second. They're six off Belgium. But they are guaranteed a playoff spot due to their success in the Nations League.
Exactly.
So I would just phone it in.
Well, they have been. I mean, they lost 3-0 to Kazakhstan.
I like Scotland McTominay's.
They text that one in.
Yeah, yeah.
I haven't even had the decency to phone in sick with
they
that
Snapchatted
one.
They Snapchatted the win against San Marino.
I like the quote from Scott McTominay from the aforementioned Manchester United, who basically said that the manager came in and got everyone's attention straight away. That's the least you expect.
Yeah.
That's the least you expect.
We all noticed.
He noticed him come in the room.
He walked in completely Billy Bollocks naked. Yeah. He got our attention. I mean, Scotland lost 3-0 away to Kazakhstan. They won against San Marino. They won narrowly against Cyprus. Cyprus got a late equaliser and then Scotland got a late winner, which was utterly crucial if they want to qualify automatically. Because then they lost 3-0 away to Belgium. But Belgium, you'd imagine, are going to win the group. So get that game out of the way. It's a big game against Russia.
It's all playoff practice, isn't it? Yeah. Realistically,
but they're only 3 points off Russia. I mean, it's within the realms of possibility they could beat Russia at home here.
When this group was drawn, mm-hmm. and possibly not because Alex McLeish was manager, but you would say Belgium will win the group, mm-hmm. but the top two go through automatically these
exactly.
days. So it's a straight shootout between them and Russia. Then they were beaten by Kazakhstan, which is a massive setback, which means they have to beat Russia now.
Yes.
Realistically. But you look at that Scottish squad that he's picked, what's his name, Steve Clark, and you think, I'm not sure this team should necessarily not be beating Russia. I mean, they've got a good handful of decent quality players. Mm. Ryan Fraser, Scott McTominay, John McGinn's been fantastic.
Yep. Andy Robertson.
Andy Robertson's a great player and obviously the captain. They've picked a Portsmouth goalkeeper. It's always a good sign.
Yeah, Snodders. Like
Snodgrass, Ollie McBurney, he's
does he fancy it though?
Well, who knows?
Did you see that thing? He was caught on camera. Just someone said, "Oh, you got a call up for Scotland." And he went, "Oh, I hope not."
Did he?
Yeah, but I think he's a bit. But I think he was obviously joking. Even Chris Wilder came out and said he's a proud Scotsman. Yeah. That Yorkshireman is a proud Scotsman. Okay. but I think
good to see Naisy in there as well.
Naisy could get his 50th cap.
Good to see him in there.
Go on a little Naisy run.
Could he get his 10th goal? His 50th cap.
I think very much he could.
I can remember there.
Give
was
him his 50th cap. There's a chance he could get his 10th goal.
He's a 1 of 5 man.
I can remember when Portsmouth used to have a player called Simon Ferry. Scottish guy, very funny.
Oh yeah, well, he's an island race, appropriate.
Exactly, absolutely. Exactly. He took himself to the island and paid himself a fare and drove his car onto himself.
Yeah,
they went across the island.
Got to be careful. He shouldn't pay the ferryman.
He was always really funny. He's always really funny on Twitter. I haven't seen him for a while, but he is always really funny on Twitter. And he said something hilarious because it was when Steve Naismith was playing number 10 essentially for Everton in the Premier League, and Simon Ferry tweeted something like, "I did not get into professional football to watch Steve Naisy Naismith playing the jam role for a Premier League team." He's just completely absolutely custom
pie. Well, he's playing for the jam tarts.
The last laugh has been on Naisy though, as he prepares to get his 50th cap.
You've seen Alan Hutton says he might retire because he can't find a club.
There's a big thing these days about players who you kind of forgotten about announcing they've retired and people thinking they retired years ago.
Yeah.
I'm just checking Alan Hutton hasn't played for a team since 2014.
No.
Yeah.
So the writing may well be on the wall then.
Hasn't played for a team since 2014?
No, apparently not.
Villa. Yeah.
No.
Yeah, he scored that amazing goal, didn't he?
Are you sure about that?
That was a long time ago, wasn't it?
Was it that long ago?
Must have been. It must have been. Well, who was the other one? Was it Darius Vassell who announced his retirement? He hadn't played for about a year and a half or something.
Let me check. Has
Ronaldinho even retired?
I think he did announce recently, didn't he?
Yeah.
Okay, fair enough. Well, there we are.
I think the original Ronaldo has never said he's retired.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Really?
I like that.
It's like when a band never officially breaks up.
And then they come out and they go, "Yeah, I didn't really need block party in my life, did I?"
Russia don't have too many big names in their squad, but they've got some of the players, obviously, that surprised at the World Cup. They lost away to Belgium in the group. They've beaten Kazakhstan away. I think they beat San Marino and Cyprus. So they've been to Belgium and they've been to Kazakhstan. Obviously, Scotland lost there, so that's why I think it's appropriate to mention that. They need to play Belgium at home, and they think that, you know, they need to play Scotland twice. So there are slip-ups there, but Scotland, I think they've got to beat Russia here. They cannot lose, certainly, because if suddenly they're 6 points behind Russia, I think that's very difficult.
They got the playoff.
Well, yeah, I'm talking about getting automatically. But, I mean, they haven't been at a tournament since 1998.
Do you think there's a danger of complacency because of the playoff spot?
I hope not, and I doubt it, because if you have, you know, the playoff spot's fine.
I just checked, by the way, Alan Hutton's been playing the championship for years, hasn't he? I've had an absolute stinker.
Yeah. It's not all about the Premier League, Luke.
Because Scotland haven't qualified for a tournament, they're busting a gut. Sometimes they've shown they're going about it the wrong way, losing to Kazakhstan and so on. But they want to get to a tournament so badly, and
I'd love to see them qualify.
Yeah, and there is a chance still that they could get an automatic spot. So I doubt there would be any complacency. I wouldn't have thought so. I wouldn't have thought so. So yeah, that Scotland versus Russia, I think it could be quite a good game.
Absolutely, and don't forget our Betway 4 to score feature.
Oh,
taking it international.
Here we go, the first international one.
I'm choosing Alan Hutton.
Are you?
Scorer, yeah. A player who I've completely forgotten about the existence of. Four to score entry is free. Betway.com/4to score. That's the number 4 and then to score. You seem to pick the first goal scorer in each of the 4 games. And if you do that, you can win a lot of money. 2 people shared £250,000 last week.
That's an enormous amount.
Even I can do those sums.
Mm. Exactly. That's 40 grand each. £125,000 each. They were very happy indeed. Play along. This time, because the big prize has been won, it's now £25,000 this week, but of course it rolls over if no one gets it. The games this week, Jim, you've got England v Bulgaria.
Yes, I was quite lucky with that. I've gone for Raheem Sterling. Obviously, he's in excellent form, and I think he might have fun.
Good. Yeah, good pick.
Peter,
I've given you Lithuania v Ukraine.
Of course you have. And my dartboard.
What's the reason? Is content a reason?
Roman Yaremchuk, who has been putting them away for the Ukraine pretty regularly, certainly in the last 2 matches. And Lithuania, I can't see getting anything out of this match. So there you go.
Good. Marcus, you are not next. It's me. Serbia v Portugal. I've gone for João Felix.
And
Marcus, you've got France v Albania.
Antoine Griezmann.
So that's Raheem Sterling, João Felix. Who did you say? Pete Yaremchuk. Yeah. And Antoine Griezmann for Marcus. Check it out. Betway.com/4to score. Play along, but don't forget to bet the responsible way. And make sure you get your selections in before the first game starts. Further T's and C's apply.
Damn right. Now it's time for Going for Glow.
So the heat is on and the time is right. It's time for you, for you to play our game. As people are coming, everyone's trying to be the best that they can. To reach for the sky where the stakes are so high. We're all going for
Glowed.
Stop. Is it Alan Hutton?
It's not Alan Hutton, no.
And we're going British.
This is from... this is from Elliot Jones. Thank you very much to Elliot Jones for this. If you would like to get in touch with the show and, give us a couple of clues for Going for Glold, it's glold at footballrambledaily.com, and I'm spelling that G-L-O-L-D.
Yeah.
All right. Did I spell it right? Yeah, did it? G-L-O-L-D.
We haven't got the
We need a jingle. Hang on, my computer.
You've emailed Glold at footballrambledaily.com.
Right, first clue.
And now Pete is claiming your work. Well done.
You. I was born in Trabzon, Turkey on August the 24th, 1970.
Oh, 1970, huh?
1970, eh? Stop. Hakan Suka.
Incorrect.
Stop. Rushdu Rekber.
Nice.
Oh, incorrect.
Nice, Jim.
Nice. Lovely. I won the 2010 version of Turkish Celebrity MasterChef.
For goodness sake.
Stop. Muzzy, is it?
Incorrect. Number 3, I have won 7 Turkish League titles, 4 Turkish Cups, 6 Turkish Super Cups, 1 Scottish Cup, 1 Scottish Premiership, and have a third place World Cup medal.
Ooh.
Huge.
Right, so who's in that squad then?
Yeah.
Oh, it's... He knows it.
Pete's fingers hovering over the button as well.
Stop.
Alpi? Incorrect.
Stop. Tongue guy.
Marcus Spence.
Two guy, isn't it?
Yeah, two
guy. I think that should be revoked. I don't think that counts. Tungai.
Oh, sorry, what did I say?
You said Tungai.
Sorry.
Tungai.
Yeah, I meant that one.
You know.
Well, I knew for Rangers he'd won the... That was the giveaway, the Scottish Cup. You knew it. You saw. Yeah,
Alex Ferguson suggested in 2006 that if I was 10 years younger, he'd have signed me. That's unhelpful. Yeah. Isn't it? I played in Turkey, Scotland and England for three clubs, made 94 international appearances, scoring two goals. I scored my final goal in a 3-2 loss at Fratton Park, goal which made me the fourth oldest goal scorer in the Premier League history.
He was one of those players.
Him from distance.
Yeah, absolutely. And he was a Rolls Royce around the middle of the pitch. And he used to always surprise me how old he was when he was still playing. He played to quite late. I completely forgot he played for Rangers.
He was Galatasaray's youngest captain as well.
I remember Galatasaray. I obviously remember Blackburn.
Mm. Yeah, Blackburn. He's very good as well. Mm.
Yeah.
There you go.
There we are, ladies and gentlemen. Another win for me. Okay. Thank you very much for listening to the previous.
Pete, how did Marcus get that? Because I thought he only ever guessed British players.
Yeah, it's weird, isn't it?
Yeah. Something's weird.
No, only on the opening guess.
Yeah.
Thank you for the previous show sponsored by Betway. It's a pleasure to say goodbye, Luke.
Get the sponsor in there.
Say goodbye, Petey.
The warmth for that. I'm going to be nice, okay, everyone. See you later.
Say goodbye, Jim.
Goodbye.
Bye.
This was a Stakhanov production.
We dropped 2 points there, didn't I? Yeah.
That's you two, Luke and Jim.
We dropped 2 points there.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember. Yeah, you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
Actually, I got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, mate.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would think of that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking out?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. And on my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.